Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
What did you break now, Matthew?
I didn't break it. Let's just be honest.
You better not be breaking stuff at NASA.
Yeah, exactly. What's this button do?
Chris, I broke something real bad. It's going to cost $37 million.
I disengaged one of the external tanks.
Oh, I was talking the whole time and I wasn't even on.
I broke an O-ring. That's okay, right?
Yeah, broken O-ring. That's what space shuttles use for birth control, right?
Oh,
the O-ring? That's how shuttles don't get other shuttles pregnant.
Yeah, a broken O-ring.
That's
the worst. Yeah, it's the worst. It's really
uncomfortable. And that's how we attack that premise.
Ta-da!
How are you guys doing?
How are you doing, Chris?
I am crazy on caffeine, and it's,
and life.
It's a very interesting time because there's a lot of stuff going on.
Summer solstice. Yeah.
Summer solstice.
It's a big one.
The summer solstice is coming up.
You're going to the summer solstice ceremony later.
It's almost America Day. Yes, my sisters and I are going to go out in the forest and pray in a circle.
Mm-hmm. As you should.
And then bathe each other in period blood. But I have been so busy
with...
You got him. That's the first time.
It's the first time I ever got him. The first time I ever got him. Hey, wait, do me a favor. Grab that mic for a second. Will you please grab that mic for
is
one second?
Is that working? Let's
is
find
it on?
Out.
Get
yeah.
on.
Yeah. Oh, there How's we go. It going? Okay. Hey. So what is your name again?
I'm Nick.
Nick. Every time we're recording, what you guys need to know is that there's a very patient gentleman named Nick who is in here who looks like he is operating the Nebuchadnezzar from the Matrix. Like, it looks like he's piloting the ship. Nick, you have six monitors up there.
Yep.
Every monitor has something different going on. I see an audio program there. I see a schedule. I see a TV. What is it that you do?
Well, I work for Seacrest, but I'm, getting things together for the show.
And like sound bites, right?
Yeah, little sound bites and producing pieces and all
so
that.
So when people listen to a show or they listen to Seacrest show and then it's, like they go to drops or they go to clips and you're the guy that has to sift through all of the shit that's in the world to to pluck out the choices.
So you digest all of popular culture.
Exactly. It's what I live for.
So, because really, Nick is sort of a silent partner.
He's been here for more shows than me.
Yeah.
The man behind the curtain.
And we always you sit over there on the side, you've got the headphones on, and we do our thing and you do your thing. And I always wonder, what is it that he's doing specifically? Because it just looks like you're monitoring Earth from where you are.
Well, I'm getting all the news and, whatever happened, that's going on, even, checking Twitter and all that kind of stuff.
And you've been on the show for his show for a while, right?
I've been with him for 8 years and at KISS, which is where we do the morning show for 25 years.
Brad and Boyd. Wow. You worked when Brad and Boyd were there right?
I was with Rick Dees for 18 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Rick Dees in the morning.
Yep.
Rick Dees
is
coming back.
By the way, you guys, I don't know if you're aware of this, but it's 89 degrees here in Los Angeles.
That's exactly right.
And I was actually going to go to, I was going to go back to school and get my master's degrees in radio, but I didn't do it. He's back now. Rick Dees is coming to LA Radio.
Rick Dees nuts.
Rick Dees nuts. Disco duck.
That's right.
So how do you pick a news? How do you pick a news story?
Well, you know, I obviously keep CNN and the other ones on all the time. And then, you know, I'm constantly going through the internet and seeing, you know, what's happening, what's breaking right now. And then I also put together any, you know, when we have guests come in, you know, I put together whatever montages we want to have, sound, music, whatever.
You're better than the Newswire. Like, you have, you're seeing, everything is filtering through you, Nick. Everything that's going on in the world is filtering through your eyes and brain.
Well, I basically want to just kind of stay with it and just produce whatever I have. You know, it gives me something better to do than just, you know, just looking for work.
Does Ryan ever have you on his show?
Occasionally, not much. As you can tell, I'm not real mic savvy. As they
no, what are you talking about? You sound great. You got a good voice.
Thank you.
Maybe we should have Rick come in, Nick come in and do the Seacrest report.
Oh yeah, like,
tell you what's happening.
You
today.
Just start reporting on this. Boy, that guy is an industry and a half.
Absolutely.
It is unbelievable.
It's a machine. It's 24 hours.
I'm endlessly fascinated by Seacrest. I think
me too.
He is. I mean, like whether or not you like the shows he makes, or if you like him or you don't like him, you cannot deny the fact that he is a force of nature.
He's a dynamo.
Yeah, it's
people ask when I have time to sleep. I'm like, when the fuck does Seacrest sleep?
Yeah, especially when
when just go
Idol
for 20 minute oxygen rejuvenation.
Steps into a Borg rejuvenation chamber.
And then they just
walk out.
It's like
crazy.
Those nanomites. They just rebuild all of his cells, and then he steps back out.
He's got to be up on the creatine, friend.
Ready to go.
Exactly. And he's already starting Idol auditions. Can you believe that?
Oh my God. The show
ended, 2 weeks ago, and now it starts up again next week.
Jeez. That's unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
I tweeted at him once, and I said I was going to change my name. I said, you know, I've probably said this on the podcast before. I said, I'm very much like Seacrest, but I have less money and more nerds in my life. So I'm going to start calling myself C++ Crest. And then he tweeted back and he said, I'll parse code any day with you, buddy. And I'm like, wow.
Wow. Yeah, pulled out a term.
Go up to the fourth floor on G4, follow the sweaty nerds, and I'm right there in the middle.
There you go. Anyway, with the headphones on and doing what I do, I'm still listening.
Okay, well, we appreciate it, and we hope we don't disturb you
too much.
It's good to know, and it's scary.
Let us remember that what finally got Nick was bathing yourselves in period blood.
Yeah.
Always know a good period joke will break the ice in any social situation. So start implementing that into your own interactions today.
Nerdist Way sequel.
On the Seacrest Show in the morning. Somewhere, put that in.
I'm sure there's a lot of crossover with our crowd and
huge crossover. The Venn diagrams maybe they barely kiss.
Between podcasts and LA radio.
That's right. It's the same.
LA.
So, but I like Seacrest, and he's always, every time I met him, he's been very, very nice to me. So, I respect the guy. I totally respect the guy. But let's talk about, and I'm not just saying that because I'm using all of his facilities, but let's talk about it's on the topic of being busy. I've been super, super busy, and it's really nice, but it's weird. Because I
love being busy.
I do love being busy, but now I'm starting to not just be busy for busy's sake. I'm actually making decisions that impact things, like getting prepared for this Nerdist TV show. Every day it's like, here's mock-ups of the set. And what do you think of this? And pick a carpet and pick a wall type. And that has to go to the network. And then they think we should do this. And this needs to be warmed up. And, you know, we're talking about correspondence. Are we gonna, who's going to be in the, you know, and so it's
what
been really,
style do you want to shoot it in?
It's been really interesting.
Yeah.
And what I realize is when you're really busy, you don't have time to second guess your decisions. And that's kind of good.
Yeah.
Where you can't go, well, I mean, I guess we could go with a shag carpet or we could go with a really tight wheat, you know, you just go that one.
You just drop it and walk
moving
away.
Moving on.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, that's kind of not bad. But I'm excited. Craig Ferguson's the guest. There's going to be other special guests. You guys are on the show. Firm is on the show. I've pissed off a handful of nerds because I said I wanted the audience, the 40 slots we have, I want those people to come in costume.
Why would that piss anybody off?
Because they're like, why rule out people who aren't into cosplay? And I'm like, I don't know.
It's not really. You're not into
cosplay.
Halloween?
We're
I just want a Comic-Con-like vibe at the show, and I want the audience to dress up however they want
to
dress up.
That's dumb to call it cosplay. It's like, you know, October 31st. Oh, yes, cosplay day, where everyone cosplays. No,
Well, I'm also going to make everyone blow each other. So, does that count as cosplay?
Mm-mm.
Okay. I like that we've tried to assemble a zombie summit.
Yeah.
You were tweeting back and forth with Simon Pegg, and you said we should have a zombie summit with him and James Gunn, and then you threw Robert Kirkman into the mix, and then I brought Rob Zombie into the mix.
Exactly. Yeah. And then a girl got upset. She's like, I know about zombies. I'm sure you do, but you're a girl, and you'll make everyone uncomfortable.
Now, we do have a lot of girl nerds who listen to the show, I found out.
We do.
I found out a year ago.
Yeah.
The last time.
I'm just joking around.
We're just joshing around.
But also, you know, Possein would be a nice addition to that summit.
Zombies are awesome!
They don't run!
Fucking awesome!
You know, this guy, Nathan Smith, he goes to the Meltdown show a lot. He asked me if I was upset about the amount of zombie things that are going on right now. And he's like, don't you wish it was just some fringe entertainment aspect? Like I do, I wish it was still that way.
So you could have less people to talk to about it?
Yeah, I don't get it. And like I responded to him with, and I stopped listening to bands once other people started to buy their records. It's just dumb.
There are some people who are like that because they want their own things to feel secluded and special.
Yeah,
and
that's all it is.
And the second other people are, they're like, oh, I don't want to be like those people. I gotta go like a new thing.
No, it's just the need to be or the want to be niche, to be an outsider, to be hip, and to be cool. Like, oh, I'm into this thing you wouldn't understand.
Oh, South American cock punching.
Yeah.
Wait,
what was that?
South American cock punch.
Yeah,
it was you and another dude just getting a ring, no pants, shirts.
Never really heard of it.
Punch each other in the cocks. Yeah, you haven't heard of it because it's fucking awesome.
Oh, wait, no, that's that thing that's like blowing up.
God damn it. That's like the sketch on Portlandia with Fred Armisen and the other guy. Yeah. Where the guy's like, it's over.
Yeah, done.
Chin beards are over.
Yeah.
God, I love Portlandia.
It's a good show.
Love it. We gotta get Armisen and Carrie Brownstein on here, up in this business.
I used to have the hugest. I still do. But when I was growing up, I had a huge crush on Carrie Armisen.
Oh.
Whoa.
But I saw Slater Kinney play live once, and I was just like, oh my God, you are so gorgeous.
And super funny.
Yeah. Great guitar player, good singer, super funny. And now
it's got just the wicked comic. She's got the comic brain.
The comic brain.
Well, Fred's background is music.
Yeah. He was in Trench Mouth.
He just happened to be funny. Yeah. And then started doing sketch characters.
Yeah.
God damn it.
He's kind of like John Worcester. He's the previous John Worcester.
We used to do that Monday night show at Largo. Like when I really started getting full on into stand up, there was this Monday night show at Largo. And you can watch the Largo documentary,
Did
it ever come out?
Never heard of it.
There is a Largo documentary floating around in the world somewhere. I just don't know if it ever came out. But it just sort of chronicles like the music and the comedy scene, you know, like the Amy Manns and the Michael Penns, and then also the Zachs and the Pattons and the of the world coming out of Largo. But that Monday night Largo show will always be some of my most treasured comedy memories. Like packed room, small kind of pub, environment.
Yeah.
And Armisen, I mean, that's where I saw. So I saw Mitch Hedberg get up and read a spec menu that he was working on. I am not sure if I am using braised correctly in that context. It was awesome. And then Fred Armisen used to come in full care. Like he would do these characters and he was so fucking committed. Like when he would do his Prince character full. And that was kind of a place where people played more of the, I'm not trying as hard.
Yeah.
You know, and Fred would go in fully committed, like in character, and it was awesome.
That's rad.
Awesome. Good times. Well, sounded like an old person. Hey, old days at Largo and comedy back in the 1900s.
Yeah, I remember I drove up from San Pedro to go, and there was a huge line. First time I tried to go, huge line, stood in it, didn't really know what that was like pre-sales or tables. I didn't know what was inside. I just knew I had to go.
Yeah, there was just a line.
Yeah. No, I just knew about Largo.
Oh, gotcha.
Like, saw in the paper. This was in 2001, and I went by myself and just stood in line. And then I was like, the two people in front of me get in. And then the guy's like, sorry, man. There's like no more room. I was like, you can't even stand. There's nowhere to stand. He's like, nope.
So you left?
So I didn't go back for months and months because I was like, oh, I'm never going to be able to get here in time to get in.
Oh
yeah.
And that's when you went got back your favorite burrito at San Pedro
and go back to the Baja Fish on Gaffey.
What was it? Was that the burrito that you
the burrito is the Swordfish burrito. And it's the place is called Baja Fish, and it's on Gaffey. It's like a, you know, it's
not
like a fish market.
Confused with Baja Fresh.
No, it's like this family owned place. And they have, you know, great tacos too. Like they have catfish nuggets and like, but you can also buy fresh fish.
Are those catfish's balls?
Do you like fish sticks?
Fish dicks?
Wait,
I love fish dicks. Morton's fish dicks.
Morton's fish sticks.
Wouldn't you buy Morton's fish dicks?
But yeah, it's just it's like a fresh fish market. And you can just, you see them like get the fresh fish, cook it up, chop it up, and put it into the burrito. It's perfect.
So that was the genesis of Enjoy Your Burrito.
That was it. That was when I was fucking, you know, I was working at a record store in Venice Beach, and the days I wasn't working there, I was working at a Borders in Torrance at the Del Amo Mall. And
so you worked in two places that probably aren't open anymore.
Yeah,
a record store and a bookstore.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you work at Web Soup. Yeah. What are you doing?
And a Sam.
Why are you bringing your cursed energy?
Yeah, and a Sam Goody and a JCPenney.
Goody got it.
Goody got it. But
Sam Goody got it. Goody got it. I don't know why that commercial. I mean, people who don't know the Sam Goody ads, those commercials tried to voice rape you. Sam Goody got it.
There's also AutoZone.
Oh, what was AutoZone?
Step in the
Get
zone.
In the zone, AutoZone. Yep. There's just one guy.
The El Pollo Loco guy sounds like he just saw a ghost.
El Pollo Loco. Finalmente boo.
Oh God. Pollos Hermanos.
Regional commercial references.
Is that regional?
What, El Pollo Loco?
Yeah.
I think so.
It's not. There's one in Tewksbury, Massachusetts.
Oh, so there must be one in every part of the country then, Matthew.
Well, I figure there's
They're not in the South that I'm aware of.
They're 500 miles apart.
Why would they be in the South when you got Chick-fil-A?
Do you think anyone in the South really listens to this?
We're getting it. We're getting a Chick-fil-A in Los Angeles.
We are. That's going to be...
Sunset in La Brea.
It's going to be an insane line forever.
I wonder if they will still do the closed on Sundays thing.
I've been thinking that a lot.
Guarantee because they're
churchy.
Thing is, so is In-N-Out. In-N-Out's very churchy.
The Lord said, do not sell chicken on Sundays.
No, that's the thing about, you know, In-N-Out too, is that
they have the Bible passages in the
but
cup.
Not on the fries, on the burger holder,
because the fries are godless.
You put them in the oil and it makes them evil.
No, El Diablo comes in and he touches the fries and he cooks them with his finger. what character was that?
That's the El Pollo Loco guy.
Yeah. I am just telling you that the devil uses his finger to cook everyone else's food.
Yeah.
Whereas here at El Pollo Loco. The burritos come out of God's vagina.
It's fire. They just use fire. They don't fry anything.
Oh, we just walk Nick. There he goes.
Walking the Nick.
Couldn't take
our
anymore.
New podcast, Walking the
couldn't
Nick.
Couldn't take anymore. What are you doing to get ready for your NASA tweet up, Matthew?
Well, I'm going to start with a blog post before I go, just so the lead up to it, and then I'll be blogging from down there and tweeting from Fatstronaut probably.
You're not going to tweet from Matt Myra?
I will be tweeting about just Fatstronaut will just have fat astronaut jokes.
Okay.
But there'll be plenty of them while I'm there.
You're going to change another one of my Fatstronaut jokes?
I didn't change anything.
Oh, shit.
Jonah. Do you have any people tweeted your astronaut Fatstronaut joke at me?
What about the time I said it?
You know,
year ago.
Here's your guys' relationship. There is a thin membrane that separates the two of you, and you just poke on it from either side until it gets a little raw, and then it heals over again, and then you poke it a little more. It's so much fun.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you enjoy it, Chris.
I just asked him if he used the one that I made up when the Fatstronaut idea first came up. I just asked him. I said, no one in space no one can hear you scream for ice cream.
Right.
And I said, he's all, no, but I did a different version of that one.
Well, I did a variation of the no one can hear you scream, Jonah.
Which
is a pretty common.
What was it?
It was in space. No one can hear you scream or cry when you run out of chocolate.
Yeah. Adorbs.
Yeah. Whatever.
So, when do we move you into a house and shoot the reality show?
We'll see how Nerdist does. Yeah.
If it does really well, then we can do a reality version where you guys live together.
We'll call it Matt Loves Cocoa Puffs.
I don't like Cocoa Puffs though.
See, it's okay because I touched them.
Turn the milk all chocolatey.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't like chocolatey milk?
No, I don't like cereal milk.
So you just eat the. You just like to. You just like to.
God, you guys missed this.
You just like
you
to slightly
the
moisten
room.
The cereal. Matter and then you, but you don't.
Yeah,
so you no, just
don't this was talked about.
We talked about.
Wow, we're like
Felicia
we're like
Day.
Doing a little greatest hits here. We're just Felicia touching Day. On touching on old conversations.
Hey guys, turns, the Nerdist podcast.
Turns out a 100 episodes was it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we had 100 episodes.
100 episodes.
And Simon Pegg was the 100th episode, and I think it was a damn fine 100th episode.
I thought it was good.
And we're gonna have. We are going to have Tom Lennon back on. We're doing Tom Lennon and Ben Gurant live at Nerdist at Meltdown.
Oh man, Ben Gurant this weekend. I was a judge again on the Tournament of the Nerd show at UCB.
Yep.
And Ben Gurant defended dressed up like him too, Patton.
Oswald?
No, Patton the from the movie Patton.
General Patton. You mean from the military?
Yeah. No, from the movie, the character of the movie.
He was such a popular movie character. Yeah, they just put him in the military.
Yeah, but he played as that, and he got up all the way to the final round, and it went up against Roadrunner, and Roadrunner won.
Really?
Yeah.
Just doing meep.
No. You don't have to be the person. You can debate on their behalf.
Okay.
And why they would win in, you know, in a certain situation. And the guy who debates, who was the guy, he's at every Tournament of the Nerds. He's so fucking funny. And he was doing a Roadrunner, and he fucking nailed it. So fucking funny.
Like how?
Well, what happened was Patton, Ben Grant, started saying that, you know, what did Patton do to take out all the carrier pigeons? In the war, he just poisoned a huge part of France and got rid of all the carrier pigeons and all the birds and all the wildlife that they could use to communicate. And he's saying that he could do that to the Roadrunner's turf. And the thing of the Roadrunner guy was going on and on and on about how it represents the beautiful, majestic southwestern United States in all its majesty. It's great. So the colors, the plateaus, the deserts. And he would always hit on that point. And so you get Patton saying that he's going to just poison this whole area to get the Roadrunner. And I said, that's very un-American that you're going to ruin the majestic southwestern desert pursuit of this one thing. I said, the Roadrunner is your great white whale, and it will be the death of you. And if you are willing to ruin the United States just for one little Roadrunner.
But Patton should also understand that any attempts to trap the Roadrunner will backfire because he has some sort of a charm spell, I suppose.
Yeah,
that make everything backfire.
Yeah, well, it was all brought up, but Roadrunner won in the end.
I would like to see a debate with General Patton Oswalt.
General Patton Oswalt, that'd be some good cosplay.
The trick is to make the other son of a bitch die for his country. Flippity floppity flu.
Is that how Patton sounded? I wish I could have been at Tournament of the Nerds. That sounded awesome.
It's one of the best shows in LA right now. It's so much fun. And they're taking next month off because of Comic-Con, but they're coming back the next month after that.
Sweet.
So we should be judges on it.
Okay.
So it was a lot of
Let's
fun.
Let's just do that then.
Yeah.
Should we just show up?
No.
I'm here to judge.
I'll ask Cal.
All right.
Hal Rudnick, very funny comic.
There was a bit that I did shows in DC over the weekend. Hampton Yount was hilarious.
Yeah, isn't
said.
He great?
Yes.
Yeah.
He was real, really terrific.
Yeah. He's a very, very funny comic.
He did a great job. And he told me about a joke, and I'm trying to locate who the comic was because it's one of the best premises I've ever heard for
a really?
Joke. So I am shouting this out. If you know who this comic is, would you please let us know? Or if it's you, let us know so we can properly credit you. But the premise was, he said he heard someone do it in New York. The premise was, everyone says if they had a time machine, they would go back and kill Hitler as a baby. But you would never be known as the guy who killed Hitler if you did that. You would be known as the time traveler who went back and murdered a baby. Like, that is one of the best premises I've ever heard, but I don't know who the comic is.
Wow, that's fucking great.
So I want to track down who that comic is so I can start listening to everything they say. Because if everything else they say is even half as good as that, they're a comic that I want to be following.
That's a perfect joke.
But Hampton was hilarious, and then this guy opened named Chris Lamberth, who was really funny, and we did two shows at the Arlington Draft House.
Nice.
And a lot of people asked about you guys. What we got to do is, this fall, we need to take the Nerdist on the road. Like, rather than me just doing stand-up, because if I can get people to come out to see me, we can get more people with all of us.
That'd be fun.
So we'll do that, and then hopefully we'll that'll help some of us stop having to work at certain places that they work at that may not be fulfilling.
Gateway.
Yep, that's
Gateway,
right.
Gateway,
you
cow,
and your
cow
fucking
bars.
Cow boxes.
I opened up for, I was on Brian Posehn and Friends this weekend at the Improv.
Oh, I was going to do that, but I had to go out of town.
That's a lot of fun.
I bet it was.
Yeah, I was on a show with Baron Vaughn, Brendan Small, Jordan Rubin.
Fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, it was a blast.
People show up?
Yeah, yeah.
So the Improv is sometimes like it's packed, and then other times they have to pull that curtain.
You know, it was weird. It was a weird mix too. There's a lot of Brian fans, and then a lot of just randos dressed up for a night out.
Yeah, you run into that at the Improv quite a
yeah.
bit.
Yeah,
randos.
But it was probably one of the best sets I've had there in a long time.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, Dave Anthony hosted. Dave Anthony from Walking the Room podcast for all those assholes that fucking. I've mentioned the podcast correctly numerous times on our podcast, but like I fucking fuck up once.
You know what? It's sort of like people aren't going to credit you for doing things right. They're only going to speak up when you fuck things up.
I know he is the co-host with Christopher Titus on the 40-Year-Old Boy podcast. I know what I'm fucking talking about.
Oh my God, Jonah, rage. Bubbling rage.
I'm getting tired of people calling me on the... I say so many words throughout the day, and I don't ever know if any of them are really true or not. I just say them, and I don't like being called out on it. I'm tired most of the time.
Yeah, I do want to say one thing. Yeah. One person has said, "Can you please stop talking about the trolls on the internet?" And so this will be the last time that I do it for a while. But, I was searching to see how the BBC show was tracking. So I searched Google News. Yes, I searched myself. All right, fine. But I wanted to see how the BBC show was tracking, and I saw an article in the AV Club that Kyle Ryan posted, a really nice article about the BBC show. The AV Club's been very supportive of us, and I sincerely appreciate that because I think it's one of the smartest publications.
Yeah.
And Onion's genius. The comment thread, I was like, oh, I wonder, I know it's going to be bad, but how bad? Was the worst.
Really?
Matt, I just...
Not going there, don't worry about
I
it.
I was like, oh my God. And I'm used to this stuff, and I still felt bad for you. But it was... I don't know what it is. You know, The Onion attracts smart people, but also the people who comment on that site are so aggressive.
Really?
Like, they hate things to a superlative degree.
Wow.
Like, to the point where we should all be dragged out and shot. I personally, one guy said, I am the worst improviser in the history of comedy. And all the times on the podcast where I just sit here not knowing what to act, you know, like going, like, I don't know what I'm going to say next. Like, you could say a lot of things about me. I'm rarely at a loss for words.
Yeah, yeah.
And so... It was just so, there was just a handful of the most vitriolic. I'm like, what are you people, why would you
when was this
waste
from?
Your time?
Now I'm going to have to go read that.
No, don't. I'm telling you, don't.
Okay.
It's some of the most hateful. I don't know what the fuck. Like, guys, it's a podcast. Don't listen to it if you don't like it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I still understand why people go out of their way to say the worst thing, literally the worst things they can think of.
And I'm pretty sure
just to let everyone know how quote unquote clever they are. They want to show you how, like, what kind of metaphors they can be like, I get it. You're cleverer than everyone who's doing more than you are in the world.
I'm pretty sure someone's going to even complain about this segment of the show. It's like, they're always talking about how people shit on them. Here, I'm going to shit on them about how people shit
fine.
On them.
And I'm not going to bring it up ever again, but it was just an experience that I had in the last week.
Yeah.
And I felt empathy for Matthew. Because even I, a little bit was like...
You went to that one about him?
Yeah.
No. He went to a completely different one that they're also talking about me. Is what
no,
it
wasn't.
Like.
To Matthew, it was way more about me than you guys got mentioned in like one thing.
Damn
and the
it,
rest
what?
Of it was the rest of it. I know that's how you that's can always find the negative spin if you're a comic. No, but that it was all that I'm the worst person and I'm horrible and I talk over the guests and I suck and I'm
trying
unfunny.
To figure out where this is untrue and these are just.
I know
there's part of me where I'm like I don't want to be on television.
Jonah pulls off his mask and he's got that light up mechanical face and he's just the internet. Yeah, he's been here the whole time.
I've been here the whole time.
But that being said. It's hard to focus on like 15 comments or whatever it was when the majority of people who listen to the podcast are super fucking cool. Like the comment threads on Nerdist are almost always positive very and supportive positive. And super cool. So I want you guys to know I do appreciate the positive comments. I don't just focus on the negative ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the negative ones are okay if they're somewhat constructive and not mean.
But they just want to tell you that you should be disemboweled. Like, I'm not Mussolini. Like, I'm just making a thing with my friends. What's the fucking problem?
I don't know. It's probably because I'm fat, you guys.
You're less fat, though. Did you see there were a lot of nice comments in the picture I posted? Like, holy fuck, Matt.
Oh, no. I'll go look at those and stop the tears.
Narcissism always wins.
Yeah.
I also would like to say that I would like to send out an apology to Nerdist podcast listener and follower Jess Nevins. On a recent podcast, I quoted, but I couldn't remember who said it, steampunk is what happens when goths discover brown.
Ah.
And so Jess emailed me and said, that was me. So I just want to say, Jess, you are now credited for your genius comment. Thank you. Thank you for a phenomenal comment. A phenomenal comment indeed.
Should we get into some?
Cool. By the way, both shows at Arlington, the crowd... burst into the Quement song.
Jesus.
I recorded it.
What?
I did. I recorded it. Let's see if I can... Let's see if it plays... If it can play well here. Where is my video of the crowd singing the Quement song?
Hang on a sec. Matt, Jonah, I'm here in D.C., Arlington, Virginia. And this is...
Shut up.
It's a recording, Jonah. It's a recording.
Shut up, you!
Jonah, it's a recording.
If I say it loud enough, we'll go in time.
All right, Mona!
Mona, Matt, and Jonah.
It's a question. It's a...
It was so funny because it just sort of, it devolved because we always devolve in the second verse of it. Yeah. Everyone just started going, it's a question.
Yeah, that song is like jazz, man.
Yeah. That was hundreds and hundreds of people singing the Quement song.
Yeah. What's going on the internet there?
why are you harassing him?
What? I'm not. What? Two times out of a 45-minute span. It's not that. I'm just wondering what's going on the internet. What is wrong?
You're like someone's dick father. Hey, what's going on the internet over there? That's because Matthew pulled out his iPhone. Jonah immediately, the laser turret in your brain just immediately dropped what we were talking about. Like, hey, what are you doing over there? What's happening? He's not listening.
I was wondering if he found Quements. Did you find some funny Quements?
No.
What'd you find?
Nothing. Literally nothing.
No. Oh. Then why did you have your phone out during the podcast?
I got mine out.
I don't know, Jonah. Why is yours out?
Oh, because I am at work.
It's
a question.
They have it. They got it.
Guys, don't start fighting. We're going to have to sing the Quement song in a minor key to make it sad.
Oh.
It's a question. It's a comment.
I'm sorry, Matt. I didn't mean to.
I didn't mean to
call you out.
Jonah.
What?
I don't care.
I don't care anymore.
Said I don't care anymore. Wow.
Alligators.
Jesus Christ.
Alligators at large. That's what's going on in the TV that you can't see. Here's a comment from Fred Legault. Montreal visit. Hey, Chris, want to make a few restaurant suggestions for you in Montreal? Sadly, won't be in attendance, but I figured I could make up for it by pointing out a few.
Thanks a lot, jerk.
He recommends au pied de cochon.
Is it because our show's at midnight? Is that why he won't be there?
It's possible. Yeah, our show's midnight. I can't remember what day, but if you go to Just for Laughs website is hahaha.com.
Our show's at midnight?
Yeah, our Nerdist podcast show's at midnight. I know. What else are you going to be doing at midnight in Montreal? You're going to be tucking it in?
I don't know.
You're going to play the Nintendo in the hotel room?
Tucking his penis behind his legs. And then he's going to dance in front of the mirror.
Mm-hmm. While affirming that he would fuck himself?
Yeah.
Would I fuck me? God, no.
I wouldn't fuck
gross.
Me.
That's gross. I wouldn't fuck me.
That's a comic as Buffalo Bill. Fuck me.
I wouldn't fuck me.
I wouldn't fuck me either. I fucking hate me. My vagina is uglier than my dick. By the way, I found out on Wikipedia that Hutts, Jabba the Hutts, apparently are hermaphroditic.
Oh, so Han Solo was fucking Chewie?
No, Hutts.
Oh, Hutts, like Jabba the Hutts. Sorry, I could totally fucking...
Wow.
Yeah.
I made a similar mistake. At the show the other night, I said Empire when I meant Jedi when I was referring to something.
That's crazy. I guess I was just remembering
a dream.
It's
just weird to think that Jabba could have been pregnant through that whole time.
Remembering a dream.
Yeah. A sweet, amazing
Jonah,
dream.
Wake up. It's time to go to school.
And then,
Jonah.
Football practice.
I dreamed I have this podcast and I was a nerd. Go beat up nerds.
Beat them all.
La Banquise. And Joe Beef. Yes, Joe Beef, I've heard, is very good in Montreal.
Cool.
We got a guy who's putting on a comedy show in Huntsville, Alabama, Jay Ledlow. Hello, Nerdist. I'm putting on a comedy show in Huntsville, Alabama, where there is no comedy scene. I managed to get 5 other comics to do an hour-long show. We're hoping to get a lot of people to come out.
5 comics is a pretty good scene.
That's not bad. It's a comedy-scarce town. FYI, Huntsville is full of engineers and scientists and has a deep history with the space program, quote-unquote.
Yes,
space
does.
Camp.
Yes, it does.
Space Camp is there. And because of this, we have a bunch of very serious blue and white-collar citizens who do not care for comedy. For instance, when I mention Patton Oswalt to people, they don't know who he is. But Jeff Dunham is well-known around here. So I'm appealing to the alternative younger crowd. I'm only 24 myself, in hopes of getting an audience. Just want to let you know about how we're doing here, what we're doing down here, suffering, but managing to do our own thing and hoping for the best. We hope you'll hope with us. We do hope with you for your show in Huntsville, Alabama, Jay Ledlow. And we wish you the best of luck. And if you are anywhere near the Huntsville area, they've set up a Facebook page that has a link that's too long for me to say on here. So just use Google. Look for comedy in Huntsville. It's probably the one thing that'll come up.
That's good. Good luck with that, guys.
Have you been to space camp?
No.
Oh, I don't know what you've done all your life.
Yeah, but we've talked about how I never went to space camp because I just assumed I was too fat.
That's right. Well, maybe is space camp still up and running?
Yes, there's adult space camp now.
Really?
Yeah.
You can go to that.
I don't know. The jumpsuit's still, I don't know.
You're slimming down there.
I don't know.
You're slimming down there.
They say he can be an astronaut anytime soon.
Boom!
Jesus Christ.
It's a fastronaut joke. It's not a... Why? I've said horrible things to him in recent episodes. Why is it today he's so sensitive, everyone?
What?
It's because you're taking him harder than you should, and he's overreacting.
I was fine until Chris told me there are comments about me on the internet I haven't read.
Oh, see, it's you.
Oh, yes, it's me.
Matt, there will always be comments about everything.
Matthew had a clit graft onto the front of his brain earlier, so he's extra sensitive.
Yeah.
Let's see. This is from Jigs Underlock. Thank you, and homosexual compliments. Okay. We will take those. Dear Chris, Hardwick, Matt, Myra, Jonah Ray, I'd like to thank you for having all of my favorite people on your podcast at some point in time. I would like to offer my body to sexually pleasure any of you guys if you wish. Of course, if you guys are part of that favorite people's list, and even though Edgar and Nick weren't on the podcast seeing the glass half full here, you guys are good nerds.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah. So, listen, I appreciate the gay offers. I've said it a million times. I am a straight individual. I do feel gays are pickier than straights. And so when I am complimented by a gay person, I always feel like I must be doing something right.
Yeah.
So thank you. This is from Cam Preston. Just want to say I love your podcast. I listen, makes road trips more enjoyable. I have 2 boys, 2 and 4. We've gotten a few funny looks when someone sneezes and they both say science.
Nice.
Cheers, Cam, at Kiss My Geek with 3s for the geek. First of all, sorry for swearing like horrible sailors. Well, really like comics.
Horrible sailors.
Yeah. Who are also
comics. Really bad at sailing.
Yeah. I'm a bad fucking sailor. Yeah.
Put up the cloth piece on the pole.
Well, holy tits cunt. Sorry, I'm a sailor. These things just slip out of my fuck hole.
Oh, it's fine. It's fine, sir.
Well, these kids are going to learn anyway. It's the internet and all. Jonah, what are you listening to right now, music-wise? What are you liking?
Right now, I've been listening to... I got back into that first Best Coast album. It's a good album. If you guys like that kind of shoegazy. Best Coast.
Okay.
Kind of fuzzy guitars, girl vocals. It's good. It's good stuff. I mean, it's been out for a bit. The Bella Fleck and the Flecktones album that just came out, the first song is amazing.
Future Man.
The rest of it makes you feel like you're really old if you listen to it.
How come?
It's just kind of, you know, jazzy, like adult kind of contemporary jazzy stuff.
Fleck is great.
Yeah.
And, you know, he played on the third Dave Matthews Band studio album.
And
before These Crowded Streets. He played a banjo solo on Stone.
I'm supporting Matthew today because he's a little more sensitive today than usual. It could be the residual effect of 100 podcasts, just nudging at his sensibilities the whole time.
Fine. The last Black Moth Super Rainbow album is great. Real kind of trippy stuff. You know, keyboards and really good drum recording on there. If you guys like drums. Country Mice, good kind of alt country kind of stuff. Really fucking good.
I like City Mice.
City Mice, really?
Yeah,
City Mice. Capital Critters.
The City Mice.
Capital Critters.
I like Amazing Stories. I like Family Dog.
Country Mice is probably the thing I'm listening to the most right now, which I think you'll like too, Chris. Oh, and the new Fucked Up is great. Good hardcore band out of Canada. Fucked Up.
Seriously?
Yeah, they're a great band.
Seriously Fucked Up?
Mm-hmm. There was a band in the 80s called Fuck.
Well, that's what Kiss was going to be called, right?
Yep.
And they're like, well, we can't put that on album covers.
Yeah, yeah. But so another band did.
We'll just do it to people.
Yeah, and there's another band like, you know, there's that band Holy Shit. And then they changed their name to Holy Fuck.
Uh-huh.
And then, yeah, this band Fucked Up's been around for a while. They're really fucking good. Good, great band live, too. Really.
How's Boner Fuck Pants?
Boner Fuck Pants broke up.
Oh, no!
Yeah, exactly. But Fuck Pants is actually going solo.
But Fuck Pants?
No, Boner Fuck Pants.
Oh, okay.
Wait.
It's like when Neil Young left Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
Yeah.
Crosby, Stills, Nash still together.
CSN, why, Neil Young? Why did you leave? Why did you leave?
Canadians.
Don't tell me! Not worth it if...
Oh, and Le Pionk. Very good. Very good sounds. Kind of like sounds like a more French Pizzicato 5, if that makes sense.
No.
I love Pizzicato 5.
Pizzicato 5 is a great band on Matador Records from Japan. They had songs like Baby Love Child, Twiggy Twiggy.
Twiggy Twiggy.
This great kind of 60s nouveau pop stuff. They had a couple songs on Futurama episodes, actually. One of the episodes that makes you tear up.
Well, there's a couple of those, actually.
Yeah. One of them, yeah. La Pianca has more of a French.
I teared up watching Doctor Who last night.
Which episode?
I was watching The Doctor's Wife.
Oh. Yeah.
Still haven't watched the...
All right, we won't give any spoilers.
Yeah. It was the Rory and Amy part.
Oh, yeah.
That was like, oh, that got to me.
Well, so much of the stuff with them that I don't want to talk about because it's just too soon to give out spoilers. Well, too soon.
When are you going to catch up on that?
Soon. I got to...
June soon, Yarrow Balloon.
Do you have them? On file?
A lot of shows ended this past week. Like, his finales like Nurse Jackie and Game of Thrones, and there were a couple...
Yeah,
a couple. I was way on
Breaking
the
Bad starting up soon.
River Nick just held up. Nick knows. Nick is a Doctor Who fan. He just held up a reference that he would only be able to. Did you watch?
Yeah,
he would only be able to know that if he had watched Who. But we can't. We can't say it because it's too. It's too
Nick,
soon.
Let me tell you though. Soon. I called that.
You did.
I did call that.
I don't want to know.
I didn't, but my son did.
Well,
my son is
a
huge
man.
Doctor Who fan.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And I just, you know, with the jaw, I was like, what?
Well, you know, this little podcast we're doing is we're taking it. It's going to be a TV show on BBC America. So we're working with BBC. So I'll see if I can get. How old's your son?
He'll be 15.
I'll see if we can get him some Doctor Who swag.
Love it.
Right?
Are you kidding me? Yeah. I'd be such a hero.
Yeah, that would be. You know what's funny is that at my shows now, when people come out after the show, then I go out and say hi to everyone. People have me sign like Doctor Who DVDs and comics, and they bring me TARDISes, and I'm starting to feel like I hope BBC doesn't think that I think I'm on that show, and then I'm signing I'm signing stuff like people's TARDISes and whatnot.
They do think that
you're just gonna show up on set one day.
I just want it to be true so bad. I just want it to be true.
But I caught the promo.
Oh, you
last
did?
Last night with the little growth there. I think you had a little growth on there.
Yeah, I like to go back and forth because I'm a guy. And, you know, that's what we can do. And that's sort of how we can mix it up.
There you go. That's yeah, sort of. That's can't sort wait of, to see the show.
That's sort of how we mix it up. Yeah, it's going to be. I don't know when it's going to air, but it will be on. And if people enjoy it, then we will make more of them. So if you want to be in the audience, please, the deadline is. Well, actually, by the time this goes up, the deadline for audience submissions passed? Will be... What no, about, it'll be Friday, June 24th.
I had a lot of interns at Matt Myers' Day Off asking about the audience situation.
They can go. audience@nerdist.com is what you want to email. And you want to email your name, the names of people in your party up to four, your age, and what costume you will wear, because you have to come in costume. Mm. So the interns can come, but they have to come in costume. Bart, that's how the fucking shit works.
I think Bart Coleman wants to come.
Bart's gonna have to dress up in all costume. Right. I'm gonna make even we have to put a Tom Baker scarf on him. He's fucking coming in costume. I don't give a shit.
You guys gonna talk about DMB and
Fish? Yeah, probably.
And Fish. Yeah.
Fish.
Mark Coleman loves his jam bands.
He does.
Yeah, Medeski, Martin Wood. He'll drive up to San Francisco to go see them.
He'll talk about a Mo show from '96.
When are you guys gonna start breaking out your musical talents on the show?
As soon as I get a capo. Didn't someone give you a capo to give to me?
Yes, I have it. I have your capo. Someone did give me a capo to give
that
to
on
you.
Twitter, I was like, I never got a capo.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. That's my fault.
I'm still.
I need a capo on the seventh fret to play some of the other Dave Matthews stuff.
I like to do a bit with Furman sometimes when he's playing guitar, and I have a capo, and then I just quickly like throw it on the neck of his guitar, and I go, "El capo strikes again." And it's only a joke that Mike and I like. It's not going to become a noodle story.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love playing. I want to buy a new guitar. I want to buy another Taylor. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking for drum sets right now.
The Gibson folks gave me a sweet.
Yeah, I've never J200. Seen you use that on television. That's weird.
You are really fired from everything. I have used it on television. I'm pretty sure I used it on Web Soup.
Yeah.
Pretty sure I used it on Web Soup.
I missed that.
Yep.
I watched 3 Web Soups last night in a row.
All right, you're rehired.
During my marathon session of I'm going to watch 3 Web Soups, then a Doctor Who, and then sleep at 3:30 in the morning.
Oh. I can't stay up late like that.
No. I haven't done that in quite a while, but the last week or so I haven't been able to sleep.
Last Thursday before I went to DC, I worked all day, and then I got on a red eye and took the red eye and got picked up from the airport and went straight to do radio promotion, and they had like radio and TV promotion set up all day. And I finally had to cancel the last one. I was shaking. I can't not sleep.
Yeah.
And I couldn't sleep on the plane because there were storms in the Northeast, and so it was very bumpy the last 2 hours. I had just fallen asleep, and the flight attendant, just as I fell asleep, shakes me. Sir, is your seatbelt on?
Oh.
I was like, you could have literally leaned over and seen that it was on. I wasn't covered up. I just had my arms crossed. Yeah. Like, she could have fucking seen it.
Oh, I always used to just cover.
Never wanted to hit someone in the face so hard.
I couldn't buckle my seatbelt for quite a long time on planes.
They have extenders, though.
Yeah,
right?
I never bothered asking. I would just put something on my lap and just sleep. They never bothered.
Well, I got bothered, and as a result, I did not get to sleep.
Were you in first class? That's your problem.
Well, listen.
That's your problem. I care about your safety.
As much as I travel, Matthew, it's important that I am comfortable.
No, I'm not. Believe me, when I can fly first class, I do. I flew out here first class when I moved. I was like, fuck it. I've
only flown first class on like hour-long flights because it's like $30 to upgrade.
Yeah, no.
I'll do it. It'll be fun.
I try to do it cross-country whenever I can. I'll just even pay the upgrade when I'm at the airport, and they're like, oh, it's $200 to upgrade. I'm like, okay.
That's a little easier because you've already spent the money on the ticket prior.
It's
a little easier just to do that. I ain't doing it now because I had a paycheck or two come in since then.
But first class is just a fantastic thing.
It is.
It really is.
First world problems.
My favorite thing about first class.
Shaking awake in first class. Oh, this lobster, it's cut my gum.
When you put something under the seat.
I have caviar farts.
You have to actually unbuckle your seatbelt and get up to get it.
Does caviar farts open for fucked up?
I like your reaction, though, to the bandit. Really? This bandit called fucked up?
Really? that was my dad's reaction.
Yeah.
What? No, I don't like that.
By the way, people should always, if they haven't, they should go back and listen to The Upper Crust.
Oh, yeah.
Remember The Upper Crust?
Yeah, I remember The Upper Crust.
It was a band that wrote AC/DC-style songs, but they did it as these like these dandies.
Yeah,
it's also
a
really good pizza place over by Anna's Taqueria in Brookline.
Yeah, but they don't sing songs about where forks should go.
They do sometimes.
Because I'm half a lute. They have these great AC/DC guitar riffs. Upper crust.
There was a band, I think from Seattle, called Tight Bros from way back when, and they had that kind of AC/DC thing. But like, I remember a lot of their songs were just about like how awesome it used to be, like hanging out back in the day.
Oh my God, that's every Bob Seger song. My life turned to shit when I hit 21. Everything was better when I was a teenager. Really? Because you're a touring rock star now.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, things were simpler then when he had to do things for himself.
Fumbling with browsers in the backseat of convertible cars.
Oh, man.
Really? All the time?
Have you guys seen the trailer for Troll Hunter?
Ah, no. Yes.
God, it looks so good.
I can't wait.
It looks so fucking good.
I want to see Troll Hunter so bad.
Yeah.
No, I guess I could. It's just available.
It's on demand, right?
I think I demand to see Troll Hunter.
But it looks good. Looks like it's going to be in the vein of Rare Exports.
I think Troll Hunter is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah.
So I hope maybe I just saw, you know what? I just watched the trailer like on maybe it was Apple TV or something. It was the trailer.
Yeah.
That I saw and it was great. It looks fun.
Yeah, no, it looks great.
I just got an Apple TV like instead of an Xbox. I thought that would be the thing to do.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm an Apple guy, but even I would have gotten an Xbox over an Apple TV. Until they decide to port iOS over to Apple TV.
Well, I would get a Mac Mini before
I'm just using it. Well, it's $100, so but what I do is I do that AirPlay thing that I had talked about on the Geek Dead. It works already.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I can stream stuff to my television.
Sweet.
From my iPad. Anything.
So what do you get on? So like...
I'll download a torrent of, say, a Bargain Hunt.
Yeah.
Or a Doctor Who. I don't download Doctor Who. I watch it on television.
Then you put it onto your iPad.
No. It's just on my computer. And then from my iPad, I can stream it to my iPad. And then I can select the source that the video is going to. And I say, go to Apple TV.
If you had an Xbox, you could just play it on your computer and it will play on your TV through the Xbox.
Yeah, yeah, I know. That's what I used to use it for.
Yeah.
But instead of $200 for an Xbox, I paid $90.
Oh, your Xbox red ringed.
Oh, yeah.
You've been through like four of them.
Four Xboxes.
Xboxes.
But I also like Xbox because you can, if you have downloaded, you know,
I like Xbox because I just made Vice in L.A. Noir and now it's dead.
But like, it's like, you know, you can get a just an external hard drive, hook it into your Xbox.
That's what
you can play AVI files, all kinds of different movie files.
Yeah, but he tried to go the Xbox route and it has fucked him in the face every time.
So many times. And then I was like, should I get a PS3? But I didn't because I already have a Blu-ray player in my room. I don't know. Whatever. These are first world problems.
Yes.
Yeah.
I had to buy an Apple TV instead of an Xbox.
I use my 10% in-store discount that Gateway gives me.
I'm saving up for a Dyson ball vacuum.
No, you can't do that, man. It's like $600.
Yeah, there's a $300 version, but man, have you played with those things?
I have.
You know what I want? I just want one of those Dyson Airblades in my bathroom.
Yeah,
I want a fucking Airblade. You would. Eventually, you'd be like, all right, I can't do this in a public restroom, but if it's in my house, I have to. I have to.
I've tried it.
What? Sir?
No.
Schwa? Guys.
It's just being silly, but Century City has them.
But a Century City Airblade is pregnant with a half machine Myra baby.
Yep. It's that's actually...
What
that's,
am I?
That's what turns into V'ger.
Kill me.
V'ger.
Father, give me legs.
Don't cry for me. I'm already dead.
Well, I think we've come to the end. We have to get up to our web suit meeting. Matthew, you've got to go over to some sort of a Nerdist writing meeting, I think.
I actually have to go write, yeah.
Isn't that fun? You get to write on the show.
It
we had a great
fun.
Writers meeting yesterday, and you guys were there, and Furman was there, and
yeah,
Kristen
fun.
Rutherford, who I love, who used to write on Attack of the Show, is now writing on Nerdist, whose husband is one of the EPs of Attack of the
and
Show.
Sorry,
daughter,
I was late.
Her right. daughter looks like the fucking
Vivi.
Monsters, Inc. Yeah. kid.
Adorable.
Like, the most adorable thing.
And she knows sign language?
Yes.
It's crazy. Crazy.
I hate when kids are smarter than me.
Well, guys, this has been a fun hostful. What are we
calling this?
What?
What are you going to call this one? Do you know yet?
Sorry, Matt.
Yeah. I was going to say Matthew's Clip Brain, but I don't think iTunes wants to show anything that says Matthew's Clip Brain. So, Matt, sorry, Matt. Sorry, Matt.
Hey, it's okay, guys.
Actually, Jonah harassed you. I've sort of defended you.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't really remember what I said that was that bad.
You didn't say anything that was that bad. I was just in a weird...
See, it's the way you take it.
So you still want to put it off on him.
Yeah.
No, it's fine. I'll take it.
You don't have to take it.
It's all right. Can you agree that they were funny comments?
They were very funny comments.
Well, then.
I was just busy with the internet.
How's that going, by the way?
I will defend you with something that Wild Bill said on Deadwood to Jonah. Shut your cunt mouth. Jonah. He didn't say Jonah. I added what? That part. I improvised.
Yeah,
I'm the worst improviser in the history. Let's do an improv game, Jonah.
Yes, and.
Oh, ma'am, I can't believe you're having this baby right here.
We're not having a baby.
Damn it. We're on Mars.
We're not on Mars.
Oh, we're on the show Life on Mars.
We're not on Life. It's Veronica Mars.
We're eating a Mars bar.
Oh, Milky Way Galaxy.
Veronica Mars.
Combos. Pepperoni and
Free
cheese
association.
Combos.
Oh, we're going to
Soroni, the trachotrony treat.
No.
Boobs. Boobs and nipples.
Boobs are glorious.
What are the boobs? The laser's coming out. It's cute. It's cute.
That's very funny that Eli Braden.
And
shooting. Scene. That's very funny.
And scene.
Is it good? Nick?
Got a thumbs up from Nick.
A little editing, but roll.
Well, you got to understand, he specializes in sound bites.
Doesn't listen.
So he's going to cut out all the fat.
He doesn't realize.
He's going to cut out all the fat. Jonah, enjoy your burrito.
Thanks.
Matt.
Yes.
Enjoy your burrito.
I can't. It's got carbs.
On your cheat day, enjoy your burrito. Hashtag cheat day. Nick, enjoy your burrito.
No, we'll say what we said on the Ferris episode. Enjoy
glad
your
we finally got to talk to you and little behind the scenes stuff.
Two shows on Friday.
All right. Try the fish.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Once upon a beat. Remember the stories and fables that captured your imagination when you were young? We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remixed and reimagined for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a music-filled weekly party hosted by me, DJ Fuse, and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, spinning tales in the New Kids and Family podcast, Once Upon a Beat, where hip-hop and fables meet. Hey, grown-ups, listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Once Upon a Beat.